Welcome to How to Make It Work, the radio show and podcast where we dive into real stories of people making life work in their own unique way. I'm your host, Annika. Let's get started. Welcome. My guests today are the directors of the marketing agency Matriarch Media, Emma and Kate. With Matriarch Media, Emma and Kate help brands show up with confidence. They work with businesses on everything from marketing strategy to social media and content creation, turning good ideas into brands that stand out. And they're doing all of this from right here in Raglan. Emma and Kate, welcome to How to Make It Work.
Thank you for having us.
Hey.
It's exciting. I only met Emma yesterday at the International Women's Day event, organized by the Raglan Business Chamber. And she had a really cool talk about podcasting. So I'm really excited to have you both here today. For our listeners to get to know you a little bit better, what brought you to Raglan and how did you two meet each other?
I came back to New Zealand during COVID times, and I honestly thought I would just be here for a few weeks. But I inherited my granddad's old van and drove around the country. And I'd previously been in India and Australia where there was quite intense lockdowns and restrictions. So it was really nice just to be back in New Zealand where it was all open at the time. And I got pregnant with my partner who's from the Waikato. And so, I was traveling around in the van trying to figure out where I was going to raise this baby. And my partner was pretty adamant on staying in the Waikato, and I fell in love with Raglan, but it was summertime. And then we found a piece of land and ended up moving here in the winter. And wow, it was like a very different reality moving here in the winter compared to visiting in the summer. Obviously still amazing community, and I still love the place, but it was a big culture shock.
What about you, Kate? What brought you to Raglan?
I actually had a job opportunity in Hamilton, and I did not want to live in Hamilton. So I spent a lot of time in Raglan growing up, coming down to surf and for, the summer holidays. And the sort of creative scene had always really drawn me in, and I felt like it was a place where I could really feel at home. So, yeah.
And the two of you met here in Raglan, or what's the story behind that?
Yeah, so we actually met through our partners. They were best friends in high school. Over towards sort of Cambridge, Te Awamutu way, and then we both kind of returned home here, and they're best friends, and that's how we met. We were the Wags, and now I think we're better friends than they are.
Yeah, we weren't actually really good friends before we started the business. Like, we had the business idea, and we both, we got on really well, obviously, but I wouldn't say we were super tight. The boys were super tight, and then through the business now we don't have any other friends. Now we very much are best friends, and like in a relationship. It feels like we're our business is a relationship of its own. Yeah, but like this business friends, partners, like our lives are very merged together.
I imagine. So
we're even looking at moving in together. No. I might just go live out on Emma's land. We'll have a custom-built studio for recording, and then we'll have Emma's house, and then I'll just be there.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I thought that was a joke. Oh, that sounds cool.
This is the start of the commune. No joke. That's a joke.
Where did you get the idea from Matriarch Media from?
It was a pretty personal journey for me, because I had my child, and returning back to work was really difficult in a small town. So I moved to Raglan when I was really pregnant. I didn't know anybody. Kate wasn't there at that stage. And that transition of coming back into work after maternity leave was really difficult. I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a job in Raglan. The daycare waiting list for my child to get into childcare were 2 years long, so I couldn't get help. We didn't have any family living here, so it was really like I have to create my own opportunity here. And that's been a huge driver of the business for us, is also when we are in a position, because it's a new company, we're less than 2 years old at the moment, but a big driver for us is to be able to create opportunities for rural mums, rural women, where there are no work opportunities. So yeah, that's my story, and Kate has her own story.
I've always been super career driven. My career is really important to me, and that's sort of how I was taught to build success. And I think because I'd put so much work into it so early on, when I was thinking about maybe having a family one day, I was under the impression that that would mean having to give up my progress. And that was really scary to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to feel like I had to compromise or choose between having a family and being successful in business. And I sort of think being an observer of Emma's situation, like, that was honestly really scary for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I would end up in the same position. So one of my big motivators for the business is to help. You know, like, I never want to see another woman in Emma's position, because that journey was really hard. And I also don't want to see myself in that position. Mm. So it's sort of all about trying to create working opportunities that are really flexible and being able to work to live, not live to work.
Mm. No, it's super interesting you're saying that. I think especially women always have to think about, do I have to choose career or do I have to choose family? For men, it's always been the same. They have career and family, but now our generation, I think with the emancipation and what we've reached and won, our independence, now we have to not only take care of the family, but also are expected to have a career. So it is a bit tricky for women, I think, these days. And my podcast is also focused on Raglan here, because there's not a lot of traditional job opportunities. So it's really amazing you're here. You talked a bit about your backgrounds, but what about your professional backgrounds? What kind of work did you do before coming to Raglan?
I didn't study marketing. I'm completely self-taught, but I was nomadic for 10 to 12 years, roughly, living in different countries. So I had worked in an online capacity for the last 6 years in trademarking and fashion fair trade. So I worked for Fairtrade USA, and I trademarked the brand to Australia and New Zealand throughout the fashion industry. So I got that job by chance with not a marketing background, but it did allow me to see this world of working online. And so that, coming back to New Zealand, that was something that I always kind of knew was possible. And I feel really lucky to be able to be exposed to having a job that was completely remote, but not being a marketer by trade and being self-taught. I find that I'm constantly trying to prove myself and overcompensate for not having studied it. So I'm forever learning and studying and keeping up with the marketing world in a really non-traditional way.
And then I sort of had the opposite experience. I studied a Bachelor of Media Design and majored in coding, so web and app development. And although it wasn't a marketing specific degree, I learned a lot of marketing skills through different papers, and then went into a very corporate job. I had a portfolio of 16 different wine brands. So I was working in the alcohol industry doing brand management, and they were like 9-10 figure massive international brands that we were launching into New Zealand. And then from there, I went on to marketing smaller New Zealand owned and operated brands. And that was really where I fell in love with founder-led businesses, and sort of having that really international exposure early on just made me realize how hard New Zealand brands were actually having to fight to do well, especially in the grocery market, because, you know, they just have millions and millions to kind of throw at the wall and see what sticks, whereas, you know, a New Zealand owned and operated business just does not have that kind of budget. And that has really influenced how we've developed the business.
Yeah, working with global brands and marketing teams is just such a different ballgame to New Zealand. Like, we would be working with entire teams to support the visions and the businesses. And here it is just, it's so scrappy and like the ingenuity here in New Zealand and the talent of people having to wear all those different hats is crazy. But it has shaped the way that our business is going, and that's really what we want to do, is help New Zealand and small brands operate more like global, or get the reach that people overseas are getting.
And that's amazing. You're combining both your experiences and strength. So it's actually quite nice. You come from kind of different backgrounds and then bring it together. And yeah. So there's quite a lot of marketing agencies out there. So what makes your approach different?
It's a great question. I think that that does, again, come back to our two different experiences, and that Emma is very good at working with the founder and being able to translate their ideas, because we find that they're very good at what they do, but you don't go into marketing, or you don't start a business to become like a content creator, right? So Emma can take very complex ideas and translate them for a consumer, whereas I sort of come in with the more commercial mindset. So I would say more about like the numbers and the return on investment.
Yeah, I really love storytelling and making brands really personal, building trust and community. Like that's my big thing, is I do a lot of work with non-for-profits and in that space. So I'm like, I love the storytelling, humanizing aspect of it. And Kate's
the numbers guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as well, we have a very sort of holistic and omni-channel approach. So, you know, all of the different digital platforms especially have different purposes. So your social media might be for brand awareness and trying to push people to an e-commerce channel, whereas LinkedIn is like for supplier and distributor relationships. I think because we did get that international exposure very early on, we can kind of see the whole picture, whereas founders are very much in their own business. I think sometimes they do need that third person to come in with that other perspective and sort of take the emotion out of it and just, I think, challenge ways of thinking.
And find the opportunities. Like when a founder is so deep in their work, it's really hard for them to find where the holes are, where the gaps are, and where other opportunities are, and we're good connectors as well.
When we talk about your own branding, the branding of Matriarch Media, at least for me, when I looked up your website, I could see it's your very personal branding. So only the name Matriarch Media, and then it's female led. You have bright colors. It's a bit of rebellious energies. And even you sitting here, I can tell that's that's super authentic. That's who you are. So who's your audience? Who are your clients?
Yeah, our branding has been super intentional. Like, it's not for everyone. It's very female oriented, and we want to work with bold brands. That's the kind of projects that we like doing, pushing boundaries, doing things against the grain, sparking a little bit of controversy. So our branding has been very intentional to create relationships with people that want to do the same thing. Sorry, what was the question?
Who are your clients?
So they're females. Because I'm a mother, a lot of them are mothers. We work with a lot of founder-led brands, owner-operators. We've worked with some franchises before, though. That's a different experience again. We work with food, FMCG food companies. We work with a lot of non-for-profits and community sectors. I do a lot of work with the Waikato Environment Centre, and we hold government contracts with them as well. So really a wide... For a small company like we are, we have a very diverse clients, and they sit in different places. Some of them are on LinkedIn. Our Facebook and Instagram crowd are all females. I don't think we probably have one male follower on there. So yeah, our audience and our clients sit in very different places.
And you mainly do social media. What's a good social media strategy?
Is entirely dependent on the business and the customer. I think the number one sort of tip that we can give anyone who's listening is, don't think that you have to do everything just because you think you need a social media strategy. There are so many different channels within social media, and the best thing that you can do for yourself is find where your ideal audience consumes content. So if you're a fashion brand or a fashion label, I would look at Pinterest, for example, where people go to find outfit inspiration. If you want to develop supplier relationships because you want to export into Australia, I'd be looking at LinkedIn. I think social media, and this is, you know, why we're able to make a business out of it, is that it's so complex. And sometimes you just really have to break it down, choose one channel and just try to learn that channel, post every day, figure out what works, repeat what works, and then just keep refining it. But the easiest way to learn is just by doing. Don't worry about it being perfect. I think a lot of business owners and founders get stuck in like decision paralysis and just don't overthink it. There's no crowd that's waiting for you to post. There's no stadium watching you. Just try and try again and you will learn.
Yeah, it's a lot about what you feel comfortable putting out. If you're a writer, then write on blog posts or on LinkedIn, for example. If you do like being in front of a camera, then make video content. So it's also about what content is easy for you to make and what you feel most comfortable to start with as well. But yeah, finding out where your customer actually is really important.
It's always good to know your audience. I really liked your advice. Just start, don't overthink, just do social media. Do you think businesses can survive without social media? What's the biggest mistakes a business can make with their social media strategy?
I think businesses can absolutely exist without social media. It depends on the business that you have. And it really depends on location as well. Like if you're in a high foot traffic area and you're, say, like a hospitality business, you probably don't need it. It's always going to enhance your reach. And that's a lot of the work that we do with businesses in Raglan is around like destination tourism. So when people land here, they already know where you are and they want to seek you out. Whereas we also have e-commerce brands that we work with who don't do any other advertising apart from social media, and they're turning over 5 million. So yeah, it's really dependent on where your audience hang out. And who your customers are and where your business is.
And then my other question was, what's the biggest mistake you see business make with their social media or marketing in general?
Having one strategy for all of the channels. Like they all need very different approaches, and if you're using the same content across all of the platforms, you could actually be damaging your reputation. It's best just to do one channel really well than try and do everything or use the same content for everything, because it's just people go to that platform and they're ready to consume the content in a way that they want to and that they consume it. So if you're presenting it to them in a different format, you're doing yourself more harm almost than good.
Do you have a favorite platform you work on?
Or LinkedIn.
Really? That's yeah. So interesting.
So weird because like I'm quite new to the LinkedIn space, and it was completely by accident. I had to do it for a government contract that I had, and I was absolutely cringing. Like I'd never done a LinkedIn post, but it's fast become my favorite platform just because the amount of reach you can get for fairly low effort is pretty amazing compared to the grind of like Instagram and Meta and videoing and editing and scripting. Like that is a lot of work. And if you can just write a LinkedIn post and get more reach, like why wouldn't you?
So much more content creation on Instagram and YouTube and those.
Yeah.
What's your favorite platform, Kate?
Mine is also LinkedIn, but mine is, again, a more commercially driven purpose, because you have direct access to any decision makers. Like you can jump on and talk to the director or the founder or the invoice payer of a business. And I think never before in business have we had that accessibility before. I can talk to a general manager that's in Hong Kong about a supplier relationship. I can talk to a marketing manager in New York about a photo shoot. I think that the accessibility on LinkedIn is just incredible.
And hugely underutilized.
Yeah, I think I should use it more. I don't spend much time on LinkedIn. I just sometimes see memes on Instagram. Do you know those memes? How you portray yourself on LinkedIn versus how on Instagram? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's like the biggest sort of objection or challenge that we have towards LinkedIn is that people find it cringe. That's sort of where we come in to help, you know, build the narrative and control that story in a way that makes them look good.
Yeah, we do a lot of ghostwriting on LinkedIn. It's fun.
So you said you have a wide range of clients. You also work for a non-profit or for the Waikato Council, I think, did you say?
Environment Centre.
Environment Centre, oh, okay. Do you also have local clients, so clients from Raglan, or do you have really small businesses?
80% of our clients are probably small businesses. Shout out to Carla at Monster Pottery. She's one of our favorite clients. We have a lot of fun with Carla. But yeah, anything from the yoga and Pilates studios to electricians to some of the hospitality businesses in Raglan as well. Yeah, we work with a very wide range.
If there's small businesses that want to do their social media strategy themselves because they maybe cannot afford hiring someone else, is there an advice you have for them?
We actually are building an education platform at the moment, and it's completely free. At the moment, it's PDF documents and courses that you can work through in your own time. So we have lots of courses up there already on Meta ads, like how to start and run your own ads, how to boost organically. There's how many courses are up there? Like,
I think there's 14 courses.
Yeah, 14 different courses, and they're very specific for different parts of social media. So for anyone that's wanting to do their own strategy, I would recommend just to jump in there and have a read of the courses and pick one thing to learn about and do well.
I feel like that's something running your own business has become. You kind of do everything or try to do everything yourself. Yeah. So many businesses start doing their podcast as well, and it's these days with the technology, it's so much easier to just do it yourself. You can basically record on your iPhone and upload it right away. So what do you think with our technology changing and also marketing always changing a lot? What's maybe one media that you think is really important at the moment?
I would say just like founder, if you're for a small business, I would say founder-led marketing. And if you are open to it, getting in front of the camera, that's the one thing that technology can never replace, is the trust that you build with your own audience. So we're huge advocates for personal branding and founder-led brands, because that's what differentiates you from anyone else on the market. And that's what people love. They can connect to you and your story really well. It's authentic, you know, you can't fake that. So, my one tip for social media for small businesses would be, like, you getting in front of and taking control of it and sharing behind the scenes, sharing the moments that maybe you think are really boring but are actually really fascinating to other people. And that's one tip for LinkedIn especially. People go on there and use it as like, I did this keynote speaker, like I got a new job, or they do the highlights. But what people are interested in is the in-between moments, the messy moments, and the things that you probably think are really boring.
I would say I love podcasts. Podcasts are my obsession. I think they're such a great way to get in front of a new audience for relationship building. You know, like we say all the time, like you never know what opportunities exist until you seek them out. And I think that when you look at the New Zealand radio scene, it is a bit of a duopoly at the moment. And like you say, the accessibility that new technology gives us, I think I can see the radio and podcast scene becoming more and more diverse. And I think we'll see a lot more independent shows getting bigger and bigger. And I find that really exciting. I'm always a stan for the underdog. So I would love to see, you know, more and more private shows kind of coming to life. And I think that, yeah, just the relationships that you can build by talking to people is so important in this digital age.
Tui atnareo o te hapori. Free FM 89.0.
There are so many different reasons why we choose to move countries and become an expat or immigrant. And there are so many interesting stories of amazing people. I'm Hannah, and I talk to people from all over the world about the challenges they have faced and adventures they have experienced on Hannah Worldwide and Friends. You are invited to join me on Free FM 89.0 Tuesdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at freefm.org.nz and on all available streaming platforms.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.